banged up in last night's game? Or are you a weekend warrior that still thinks you got what it takes to play, but nagging injuries are slowing you down?
It's time to talk to some of the region's top sports medicine specialists. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show. All you ever wanted to know about sports medicine, and maybe just a little bit more.
Welcome to the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside my co-host, Dr. Eric Pifel. You can find out information on Dr. Pifel as we go at mymosh.com. Dr. Pifel, it's always good to see you, sir.
Great to be back, Mike. Thanks for having me again.
You bet. I'm looking forward to today's show. We're going to talk about injuries. I've got some NFL injuries I have to ask you about. And the second, third, fourth segment, the head coach from your Milwaukee Wave is going to join us, Juliana Oliveira, who was been the head coach for the Wave for a while, been in the market. In fact, he came in with the Wave just as I left the Wave. I used to be the director of sales marketing with them, and nothing but good things about him as a soccer coach and as a guy here in this community. He's really, really loved.
Yeah, we're very excited to have Coach here. It'll be some great insight into the Wave, but also into soccer as he has transitioned from a player to coach throughout his career.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Hey, before we get to that, can we talk a little bit about some of the Packer injuries and a couple of injuries that I have questions on them. Randall Cobb was not supposed to play on Sunday.
No.
And, you know, I took him off my fantasy football team. I was going to lose either way. but he went in second half and scored a touchdown and looked like he was moving okay. Do you think they waited till halftime to see how he was feeling and then decided to play him?
You know, certainly anytime you have a hamstring injury, it is questionable whether or not you're going to be able to go full tilt, but also the number of reps you can play. And oftentimes the feeling of the player on how they are able to cut and twist on the off-field tests really dictate whether or not they can get back in the game. So most likely they were warming up, have them ride the bike, keep those muscles nice and smooth. And if he did well and did okay through the halftime, that's probably when they decided to play him. But also we're probably looking to see if the game was at hand or if they really needed him to step up.
You know, another player, and this one was on the Colts, Dwayne Allen, their tight end. They expected him to play, and he did. But I read a quote that he had that made me laugh. I wanted to talk to you about it. They asked him about he had missed two games, asked him about his sprained right ankle. And he said, yeah, I'm getting back quicker than I expected. Those ankles are tricky things. Some heal faster than others, and some take a little more time. Thankfully, we had a plan, and I was able to get out there and get enough practice in. When he talks about having a plan, Dr. Pifel, you know, he got back quicker than he thought. Does that tell you that not only the player but the team, the medical team, understood what the injury was and made sure he was on the right path to get back as quick as possible?
Well, the medical team always has a plan when it comes to injuries, and common injuries like hamstring injuries, ankle sprains in soccer and in football both require a kind of a guideline of how to treat. Once you meet certain goals as far as strength, mobility, swelling, oftentimes we can go to the second and third tiers of recovery. Sometimes people go a little bit faster, especially when they're younger and have more viable tissue. Sometimes they go a little slower if they're older or if these are chronic injuries. So having a plan ahead of time is a very good way for teams to predict, but also to interact with the coaches to make sure they understand the potential for this player to be back.
Yeah, that's awesome. Again, we are talking with Dr. Eric Pifel from the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine, and you can go to mymosh.com for more information on Dr. Eric. Ben Roethlisberger, the quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers, I just shook my head. When I heard an hour before game time that he was not only going to be suited up, but he was going to start, he had a meniscus surgery 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, you're not alone. I mean, this is a player who has had multiple injuries. He's in his early 30s, and he does not play simply. He has always played rugged, and for him to come back that quickly, things would have to be optimal, meaning young, minimal swelling, great strength. And I found it very hard to believe he was there. And once he got out there, it proved our ill feelings about it. He looked terrible.
And so I'm let's just put you hypothetically as the team physician for the Steelers, if we can. He says, no, I'm playing. I'm ready to go. And you as a physician do not think he should be playing. How would that conversation, do you think, goes? Because I can see him, you know, he gets out for a practice or two. He says, look, I'm a tough guy. I'm playing. And that's the end of the story. Let's go. And you as a team physician, do you go to the head coach and say, hey, look, I strongly disagree with this?
Well, certainly this is why you have a game plan ahead of time. When you have a game plan ahead of time, it tells the player what you need to do in order to get back. I wasn't there. Maybe they met all the goals, and perhaps that's why he was playing. But the probability of a player of his age, the number of injuries he's had, getting back to the strength, motion, ability to cut and twist, but also to be able to plant and throw at 3 weeks, I find improbable. But getting a game plan ahead of time is the best way to prevent a player from using some of his clout to supersede any type of medical judgment.
Can you explain, when somebody has meniscus surgery, can you walk me through what that is?
Well, based on the information I have about Ben Roethlisberger is that he had a meniscal trim. So he had a meniscal tear. The meniscus is a shock-absorbing cartilage in the knee. Most of the time when you hear someone has a knee scope, they have a trimming of the meniscus, and that means taking away a portion of that meniscus because it is creating pain. The issue is not trimming it away, but you've lost some of the protective cartilage, but also the swelling and irritability of the knee after surgery has to be able to recover. So it's a quick recovery, but for someone of a high caliber like this, things have to be absolutely perfect to get back so quickly.
I had meniscus surgery a few years ago, and I knew that I was going to have it, and we waited for insurance purposes a couple of months, and as I was waiting, it felt really good. And the church softball team needed a second baseman. So I got my stuff out of the closet. My wife said, what are you doing? I said, going to go play softball. And she said, it's a bad idea. She's a registered nurse. So that's a bad idea. I said, no, it's fine. I'll go, you know, I'll move the second baseman or first baseman over. I'll play first base. No big deal. And I hit one in the gap, which I don't do at all anymore, and rounded first base, digging for two, it just popped. We had the surgery, and you know what, Dr. Erica, I had set up that I was going to MC a golf outing, a charity golf outing event the next day. And so I had to stand for about an hour and a half and do that. Man, that was a really bad idea.
Yeah, meniscus can be quiet if you're not doing a significant amount of activities. If you have jobs like ours where we can have periods of inactivity and take time off, it's fairly easy to not have the surgery or delay it. In the case of a professional athlete, to delay it just takes time away from their playing time. And the recovery is very difficult and very different than you or I because they have a high level of activity to get back to and compete.
And you've got, you know, 285-pound linemen trying to put you to the ground. And I watched that game. He at no point looked good to me.
No, I mean, and I would tell you that there is a significant portion of the recovery during a game like that is psychological. So he's thinking about his knee when things aren't going right, where in the past he most likely would say, we just need to change our game plan, we need to alter up our cadence. Now he's thinking, hey, maybe it's my knee that's creating all these issues, and it probably was to some point.
He never looked like he was driving on his throws. And I'm sure that had a lot to do with it because he was thinking, I want to get rid of the ball before somebody hits me. And I just, I wonder if they had to do it all over again, had they not thought, let's give him another week or two to get ready. Hey, before we get to a break, Clay Matthews, starting to drive a lot of people here nuts. Hamstring, I know it's different for everybody, depending on the severity, depending on how, if it's torn or if he tweaked it or if it's pulled. But boy, people are starting to question, at least in Packer land, is he going to get back to the field anytime soon?
Well, you know, it's looking positive this week. There has been some reps, but hamstrings are one of those things that can be very quick and easy, or they can linger and create chaos. And right now, the Packers are full of hamstring injuries, and this is something that will be day-to-day and may even be a game-time decision like Randall Cobb.
You know, I think if you look to the future, there's one more game this year in college football between the Badgers and the Buckeyes. I think it's coming.
I'm keeping my fingers crossed, yeah, because that means that the day after, 2 days after Thanksgiving, that team up north has been beat by Ohio State.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I'll tell you this, and it's not that I, as a Badger fan, would prefer to play Ohio State. I'm just tired of Jim Harbaugh. Not a big Michigan guy, as you are either. So let's hope that some of these injuries with the Badgers, some of these boys come back and they're ready to go if they get that chance to play your Ohio State Buckeyes. Guys, we're going to get to a break. Other side of the break, we're going to be joined by the head coach with the Milwaukee Wave, Giuliano Oliveira, and we're going to talk about some soccer injuries. We're going to talk about this Wave team, and we'll give you some ideas on when you can go watch them play, and I would highly recommend you do that. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
You get dinged up in last night's game? Or are you a weekend warrior that still thinks you got what it takes to play, but nagging injuries are slowing you down?
It's time to talk to some of the region's top sports medicine specialists. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show. All you ever wanted to know about sports medicine, and maybe just a little bit more.
On Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan, I'm Mike McGivern alongside my co-host, Dr. Eric Pifel. Go to mymosh.com for more information on Dr. Pifel. Our special guest, he's the head coach of your Milwaukee Wave, Giuliano Oliveira. I'm not even close. Give me the last name, Giuliano.
Oliveira.
Oliveira. Man, dude, a lot of people pronounce it the way I did, right?
Absolutely.
There you go. That's how I've always known you. Like, and we've just met here today, but because I you know, a lot of friends of mine either went to Wave games, worked for the Wave. You've got a great reputation, Coach. I have to tell you this, that inside the Wave bubble, I think, you know, people know that and you feel that. But from Wave fans and people that I know, families that come to Wave games, just have a tremendous amount of respect for you as a coach and as a man. So I think you need to know that.
I appreciate that, Mike. And it's just great to be a part of this organization and some of our season ticket holders and fans out there and our booster club. Just honestly, top-notch people all the way around.
Yeah, that's awesome. It was a long time ago that I was the director of sales and marketing with the Wave, but we seem to know a lot of the same people, man. When you're talking about guys like Mo Suri and George Pastore Yeah, it's Tony Pierce, who was just my favorite. We played a lot of softball together. Guys like that, Larry Sales. It was a fun time back then. Really good people that cared a lot about this community and about that team. So, and it's continued with your era and the things you're doing in this community. So thank you for that.
No, it's been great. I mean, the Wave's had so many great players over the years and ambassadors of the sport and the community and the things these guys have done to help the Wave organization. I mean, if you look at it from day one, 1984, you got a guy like Larry Sales that met his wife in Milwaukee, believe it or not, on New Year's Eve, quit the Globetrotters, who he was the athletic trainer for, joined the Milwaukee Wave in 1984, and here we are in 2016, and he's still an employee of the Milwaukee Wave. So if you look at the people over the years that have been a part of this organization and kept it going, it's actually the longest-running professional soccer organization in North America. So it's pretty impressive, and people of Milwaukee, I think, and myself, we're all very blessed and lucky.
Well, and you know, as we talk about some of these players, and I promise, Dr. Pifel, we're going to get to injuries. November 19th, 6:05 at the UWM Panther Arena against the Kansas City Comets. 6 o'clock start, 6:05 start. It's alumni night. So if you look, some of these guys I'm talking about might be at that game. So I would highly recommend first home game Saturday, November 19th at 6:05 at the UWM Panther Arena. If you've been to a Wave game, you know what to expect. It's a lot of fun, family friendly. If you haven't been to a Wave game, need to get to one. And once you go to one, you're going to go to 2, 3, and 4. I can tell you that. They're really fun. They're fun games. What I used to hear a lot is, I don't like soccer. I say it doesn't matter. You know what? You're thinking about outdoor soccer, and I understand that. That's fine. You like basketball? Yeah, I love basketball. You like the fast pace of arena football? Yeah, I love it. Come see a soccer game. So, you know, good luck. How's the team look this year, by the way?
You know what? We made a lot of moves in the offseason. We had an older team the last few years, and our organization felt that, you know, for us to continue to grow as a team on the field, it was time to make some changes. Will there be some growing pains? Yeah, there will be, but we've assembled a great group of young men, and they're very good soccer players, and it comes down to how fast they're going to pick it up. I mean, one of the things we lost is that veteran play, you know, players that have been in those crucial moments of games and know how to play through them. You know, these young guys, some of them are going to learn on the fly, and it's a practice that's been a lot of fun. They show up every day working extremely hard, so it's been great.
Do you as a coach like coaching a team like this, that instead of being set in their ways, this is a team that you can kind of guide, direct, and coach them into what they're doing?
Mike, that's exactly it. I mean, it's a great group of young men that show up to work hard every day, and if you can channel them in the right direction and help them along and correct their mistakes, the ability's there. And, you know, you're right. I mean, as a veteran player, I was kind of set in my ways, and some of the things I was asked to do, I was like, physically, I can't do that at this point in my career, or, you know what, this has worked for me this long, doing it this way technically, and I don't want to change. So with these young guys, they really have no choice but to tweak their game a little bit with me, and they've been very receptive, and, you know, we opened up in Kansas City last weekend. Few injuries. We went in with the team we didn't think we were going to go in at the start of the season, but growing pains, yes. We played Kansas City, who in my opinion is the best team, and we started very well, but as soon as things, I was telling Dr. Peifel during the break, as soon as things didn't go well, started going south a little bit, it continued to go south, and you know what? Those are young players learning to play through these moments and improve as they go.
Man, that's awesome. When you talked about injuries, and understand, as we do this show, we're going to talk a little bit in generalities about different injuries. We're not going to talk about specific players with Dr. Peifel. But when you talk about soccer injuries, Coach, can you talk a little bit about, is there such a thing as a normal, typical soccer injury early in the season like this?
You know what? Players are trying to find their fitness level. What would be a normal soccer injury? It's nothing we've had this year, but we've had in years past. And you're talking really about an ACL, a knee injury, MCL. So that's kind of common in the indoor game and the outdoor game. One thing you see more in the indoor game because, you know, you've got the boards and you got the fast pace and you've got people knocking each other against the boards. You see a lot more upper body injuries, you know, broken bones a little bit, you know, ulnas or elbows and little things that would never happen in outdoor soccer, but you do see them in the indoor game.
Dr. Peifel, I'm going to ask you the same question. When you're talking about indoor soccer, especially at this level, when you talk about the professional athlete, typical injuries, we talked about ACLs, MCLs, there are, I think, some more different injuries that you find, especially in indoor soccer, than you would with outdoor soccer.
Well, Coach hit it right on the head. You know, certainly indoor is a much more of a collision sport compared to outdoor. Outdoor is a contact sport in which players are banging, but there's space. Indoor is a short field, small width, lots of players, and it's encased. And when you have that type of field and people are banging on each other, and these are big athletes. Some of these guys are in their mid-200s, and they're banging on each other. You're going to have a lot more upper extremity injuries. You're going to have a lot, typically more concussions than outdoor. And you also have a lot more significant injuries, including broken bones, because of the contact that is different than the outdoor game.
You know, when especially the early part of the season, Coach, depending on the fitness level that guys come in at, really, I think, dictates what you can do during practice as a coach. In at least high school sports, and that's mostly what I talk about here on 105.7 FM, The Fan, they've really tweaked what you can do in preseason. And I know at the professional level, it's different, and you kind of have, you know, your choice on how you want to do it. First couple of weeks of practice, do you guys do one a day? Do you do two a day? How long are your practices? And how much do you talk to these guys prior to coming in that it's important that they're fit before they come in?
Yeah, the prior discussions for these players coming into preseason is, you know what, this is a season that we highly recommend you come in fit. It's something we do every year with our players. On top of that, if you look at old school ways, you know, I remember showing up for preseason and it was like jumping in the cold pool with 2 feet right away and there's no looking back. And after day one, you can barely move. The philosophy today is more build it up, build it as you go. So our players came in with a good fitness base this season and we built it up as we've gone. We've slowly increased the demands over the first few weeks and all the way up until the first game, and that week preparation before game one or this week, we focus more on the tactical side and we expect that the fitness base to get there. We went one a days every day. We didn't do two a days. We added 1 week fitness in the gym with the players. And basically, they got the green light at night if they want to go lift or they want to, you know, they feel they need a little something extra. It's up to them, you know.
Dr. Pfeifel, it's changed over so much over the years. And again, I'm an older guy, so I understand that the differences of, you know, the whole Dick Vermeil go three practices in a day or we're not going to leave this this field until we get it right type thing. Things have changed a lot, and I think coaches and guys like you understand the human body so much better now on how to make sure these guys are peaking at the right times throughout the season, that I like to hear that things have changed.
Oh, yeah, and it's very important because the human machine is very touchy, especially as these athletes get faster and stronger and bigger. So they have to be fit, and part of fitness is rest and not absolutely pounding it. And the biggest issue for a lot of these guys are they play the outdoor game. The outdoor game is a lot more finesse and speed, and it's not shift work. They have times of reprieve in the outdoor game in which their ball is not in transition. In the indoor game, transition periods are literally seconds, and they are running and running, and they have to learn to condition in order to be ready for shift work, not for consistent play throughout 90 minutes.
Hey, guys, let's get to a break. Other side of the break, we'll continue our conversation. My co-host this week, Dr. Eric Pfeifel. Get more information on Dr. Pfeifel at mymosh.com. Our special guest, the head coach with the Milwaukee Wave, Giuliano?
Oliviero.
Oliviero. Boy, I'm bad with bad names. You can go to milwaukeewave.com for more information. Again, their first home game is Saturday, November 19th, 6:05 start. UWM Panther Arena against the Kansas City Comets. Again, it's alumni night. MilwaukeeWave.com for more information. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside my co-host, Dr. Eric Pfeifel. Doctor, we're talking Milwaukee Wave soccer, head coach from Milwaukee Wave in with us. You can go to MilwaukeeWave.com for more information. As we talk about soccer and we talk about some of these injuries, different injuries as kids are growing up in the game of soccer compared to what you may see as the doctor for the Milwaukee Wave?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just like any sport, kids are going to have a different potential for injury than they do at the professional level. Certainly our youngest kids that are still in the process of growing are going to have potential for growth plate irritation, overuse injuries, are much more prone to concussion and long-term concussion issues. And a lot of the rules of the game have been altered to diminish some of the potential injury to our young athletes by diminishing heading, by diminishing some of the amounts that they can play, and also having the kids cross-train and doing some time off of sports, and especially not playing year-round soccer. So there's a lot of things that can occur at the young ages when they're still developing that don't occur when we're dealing with our professional athletes.
Coach, do you see a lot of players that play multiple sports, and then as they get older, soccer becomes kind of their key. And the reason for the question, I'm a basketball coach. And I love having players that are soccer players. They can't shoot a look, but they can defend, man. They can really defend like crazy. And I'm wondering, first of all, growing up, did you play multiple sports?
Yes, I played multiple sports.
What else other than soccer?
I played basketball, track and field. And it's funny with what you just said, you just described my daughter and her basketball career. She is a great defender that cannot shoot a lick.
Not shoot a lick. But I'll tell you what, you tell those soccer players go out and you say number five is your best player, I don't want them scoring, and they just go out and play defense like crazy. And they can run all day, and they know how to use their legs. And it's a big part of playing defense in basketball.
I really think, and Dr. Pfeifel can add to this, I mean, I think the different sports at younger ages helps with the coordination and you're using different muscle groups for different sports. And I think, you know, if you play basketball and then you go back to the soccer field, I think it would be complementary. And vice versa. You go from the soccer field to the basketball court. I think those quick, shifty movements are only going to help your soccer game. So I look at it as an advantage. Definitely, when you get older, you need to have a primary. You need to focus on one sport if you're a serious player and a serious competitor and you want to take it to the next level.
And Dr. Pfeifel, you like that answer because I've been in with you guys long enough to know that especially as you grow through grade school and into high school, it's really good for kids to play multiple sports and to train and not just play soccer year-round, but to play soccer and then play a little basketball or play baseball. And you like that when guys cross-train like that because that keeps them out of your office a little bit.
Well, it keeps them out of the office because they train different muscle groups. I think it also keeps them fresh so they can make sure that they love soccer before they commit to it. But it also allows different skill sets. You know, certainly a young man who's playing outfield in baseball is going to have great eye-hand coordination when it comes to soccer and fielding a ball kicked from the goalkeeper in the air. I mean, these skill sets transition, and a lot of them you cannot learn by playing a single sport alone. But I do agree with Coach, as you're getting to your teenage and early 20 years, that's when you really have to focus on a single sport. But in single digits and early teens and just kind of that tween area, I think that kids should be at least cross-training, and multiple sports is a great way to make sure that they commit to a single sport but also have much better skill sets when they get to that single sport.
Dr. Pfeifel, is there when we talk about injuries in soccer, do you see different injuries from girls' soccer than you would from boys' soccer, or are they kind of the same across the board?
The injury patterns are similar. Certainly, female athletes have a different subset of injuries than men. Their prevalence for ACL injuries is much higher than male soccer players, and their prevalence for significant fractures are uncommon compared to the men's game, mostly because of the physicality, although the women's game is becoming close to that as far as physicality. But ACL injuries are probably the one that has the biggest differential from female to male soccer.
When I was with the Wave a long time ago, Coach, one of the biggest things that the Wave believed in is the youth programs, the camps, the having players not only be playing in this market, but stay in this market and coach at the youth level. And from my understanding, that's still a very, very big part of what you guys do with the Wave.
Our summer camp program is just so important to the overall success of the organization. You've got the on-field success, but you know, as far as the off-field success in the off-season, our summer camp program is extremely important, and what we provide and hands-on from the professional players to the youth to the kids at the camps is second to none. It's our camp program. I can't say enough good things about it. I've been a part of it for I think the last 12 to 14 years, and you know, the enjoyment you get from the kids and seeing them have fun out there playing and helping them develop. And then if you flip it around and you look at the players on the field, I mean, they've actually been able to make additional income. It's helped them keep them in the community. And a lot of our players have become some of the top youth coaches in the state of Wisconsin. And if you look at the development of our state as far as clubs individual teams go, they're starting to be able to compete in their region and even step out of our region and compete in national tournaments. And I think a big part of that is Milwaukee Wave players making Milwaukee their home after their careers have passed.
You know, it also helps, too, I think, having players coach in different clubs as far as having these kids then come and experience a Wave game. I think that that's really important because they want to go and watch their coach play. You know, he's telling me how to do it. Let's see if he can do it. And they're coming out in groups to watch, and I think that's really important.
It's so spot on what you just said. You know, you look at, you got a Marcio Leite. He's coaching in SC Waukesha. All of a sudden, they come out and, you know, Marcio, you told me to play simple. You told me to play one and two touch.
Right.
You're taking your player on every time you get the ball. And you know, it's something they can laugh about, but they love watching their coaches. You got Tenzin Rampo with Brookfield Soccer. So it's across the board. Our former player Joe Hamas is the director at North Shore United. So it's interesting. It's good to see the guys making a living out of the game, even if they're not playing it.
Coach, do you assist these guys at getting coaching jobs?
I have definitely in the past. I'm a part of it too. I mean, I went from player to youth coach, and now I'm the head coach of the Wave. So I'm involved in the youth soccer scene.
What club are you with?
I'm with SC Waukesha as well, okay. and just great families and great kids and just great people to be around, and it's taught me a lot. I hope, you know, they've taught me as much as I've taught their kids, and it's been just a great tool for us to continue to develop. And you know, you talk to these players that want to become coaches, and you push them. The ones that want to really do it at a high level. They start getting licensed, and then they start enjoying it more, and then they get a higher license. And we've got some really, really high-level coaches. You take Nick Vorberg, just retired from the team last year. He's also coaching at SC Waukesha. Now he's the full-time assistant with the Marquette Women, who play this Saturday in the NCAA D1 playoffs against Wisconsin. So,
you know, their goalkeeper, the women, is last name is Henry.
Yep,
and her dad and I used to work together. He's a Milwaukee guy. Went to I think Cedarburg, or he went to either Cedarburg Patrick Henry, either Cedarburg or Homestead. But he is in the radio business, and so I follow him on Facebook. And his daughter is doing really well as their goalkeeper.
Yeah,
so she and obviously Nick was their coach.
She's in good hands. Yeah, that's her goalkeeper coach. So.
And Mike, I'd like to step in there. I just want to plug that, you know, the Milwaukee Wave do a great job keeping soccer in the community, but they also are a professional team that are very excited to help with youth sports. So this is a great way to support your team is coming back out to see them, because they support the community much more than the majority of professional athletes.
I agree with that. And that was such a big part, Dr. Pfeifel, and they obviously have continued it, but it was such a big part. When I was back, and this is, again, a zillion years ago, but back with the Wave, when we would bring a player or two out to a tournament, a youth tournament, and you could see these kids just light up like, man, I used to watch him play. I go and watch that guy, and they're standing in line to get autographs and pictures with these young men that are staying. They're not saying, hey, look, you told me I'd be out of here in 30 minutes. It's 31 minutes. They're not doing that. They're saying, hey, don't worry about it. Let's just stay until the last kid, you know, leaves, and I'll kick it around with him a little bit, and then we'll get out of here. Really a big part of what the Wave does. Hey, last question before we get to a break. Coach, when you're coaching at the youth level and your guys are at the youth level, I would assume it's really what a good networking tool for you to have the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine people there to be able to say, hey, look, we have a little bit of a tweak or an injury. Can I just ask you a basic question on how we need to look at this?
Honestly, since they've come on board, we can't say enough good things. So how they've handled our professional players is second on the. I mean, it's first class all the way around. And I know some of the doctors firsthand have kids, you know, playing in youth programs. A lot of them do. So it's great to interact, and they're asking us soccer questions. We're asking them medical questions, and I think it's just great teamwork all the way around.
Well, you can't beat that. If you guys have any radio questions, no, probably not. I'd be your guy. Hey, guys, let's get to a break. The Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show, and I'm Mike McGivern alongside my co-host, Dr. Eric Pfeifel. Go to mymosh.com for more information. If you want information on Milwaukee, the Milwaukee Wave, again, their first home game is coming up Saturday, November 19th, 6:05, against the Kansas City Comets. Their head coach says might be the best team in the league. You're thinking?
I think they have been the last few years.
Yeah. So that's be a good game to get to and cheer the Milwaukee Wave on. It's alumni night. Again, MilwaukeeWave.com for more information. Let's get to a break. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside my co-host. He's Dr. Eric Pfeifel. Go to mymosh.com for more information on him. Our special in-studio guest, the head coach of the Milwaukee Wave, Giuliano Oliviero.
Well done.
Thank you. Go to milwaukeewave.com for more information. When you go to that website, you know what? A lot of great information on tickets, on groups. You certainly can get their schedule, and their first home game is coming up. It is Saturday, the 19th of November, 6:05, UWM Panther Arena against the Kansas City Comets. Alumni night, again, MilwaukeeWave.com. Giuliano, I had a call from your front office, and I just want to let you know this, that I might be involved. You're going to have a faith and family night is what they're talking about at the end of January.
Yes, we are.
And I'm going to get a chance to possibly speak at that. I do a show here called Faith in the Zone, and I look forward to that. And I really appreciate your front office reaching out to me to maybe come back and do some things. It's been a while since I've been to a Wave game, and I need to get back. It's time. I know that I've got three grandsons, 6, 5, and 2, and the 6-year-old and 5-year-old are starting to play some soccer. In fact, the 6-year-old this summer, my daughter and son-in-law, they live across the street, Coach, and they were going to go to Chicago, and my wife and I were going to have the boys, and he had his first indoor soccer game at Brookfield Soccer Club at 1:15 on a Saturday. I get off the air at noon, so I had to race over there, pick him up, get him out, and I was really tired, a little crabby, and I'm standing down by the glass, and again, he's 6. Well, they lost 41-2 in indoor soccer. And when it got to be about 20-1, I started hitting the glass saying, "Are you going to play?" And the people that were standing to my right started to move farther and farther and farther. And my wife was mean mugging me, and it was not good. I need to not watch 6-year-old indoor soccer if my grandson's not going to play hard. Isn't that terrible? Parents are tough, huh? Parents in soccer are really tough, I think, sometimes.
You know, it's interesting. You see the parents, and some of them have played sports at a high level, and it's funny. The behavior between the parents that have played sports at a high level is much different than parents that are you know, first time around. And you just see a certain calmness on those parents that played at a high level and know the sport or have played basketball at a high level, and now they're watching soccer at a youth level, and they know how to kind of control their emotions and wait for the right time to talk to their kids. It's pretty interesting. I notice it all the time. You've got your parents that get heated pretty quickly, and then...
And grandparents,
yeah, exactly.
You know what? And I had a conversation, the same conversation I had with my 6-year-old, when Matthew was 6-year-old, my son, and I said, "Look, dude, could care less if you win or lose. I just want you to play hard. Just play hard." And he said, "But Pop, I never played indoor soccer before." And I said, "You knew what goal was yours, right?" "Yeah." "You know what goal was theirs?" "Yeah." I said, "All I want you to do is just play hard. Don't just stand and watch them score goal after goal after goal." And he said, "Okay." And they won the next week. And I said, "I won't ask you if you won or lost. I'll ask you if you played hard." And he came over after I couldn't believe they won, first of all. And he came over and I said, "Did you play?" He goes, "Yeah." I said, "Did you play hard?" He said, "I played really hard." I said, "Good for you." And he goes, "You want to know if we won or lost?" I said, "Well, if you want to tell me." He said, "We won 5-4. I said, "Good for you." And he, you know what? He really likes the game. And I think that that's important. Do you find that kids that start that early, is there still a time, Coach, where they play until a certain age, 4th, 5th, 6th grade, And then when there's more opportunities, is where the numbers dwindle a little bit?
That's a tough call. I mean, as coaches, we really just, you know, you try to create a fun environment. You try to create a safe environment for them to develop in. And those are your goals. You want to make it fun. You want to make it safe. And you want them to get better. I mean, I think there's all levels of soccer at all ages. And if they truly are passionate about the game, they'll find the right level that fits them best and just play the game that they love to play.
Dr. Pfeifel, when you guys became part of what the Wave is doing, were you at all surprised at anything that as a community, as an organization, the Wave does? Because I think from the outside, until you kind of get on the inside, you don't realize how many lives they touch within this community.
Well, I will tell you, Mike, that even before we became involved with the Wave, I'm a big soccer fan. Excuse me, but also soccer family. My boys both play, and they go to Wave camps and they go to games. So I knew how they touched lives because they certainly were very integral in helping my boys improve their soccer lives. But when you get involved as a team physician, you start to get involved in the players and specifically some of the turmoil they go through and some of the hurdles they've had to come to get here, and you deal with some of the aging players, and you start to even have a bigger personal involvement, which is, for me, even more rewarding, because cheering for a team's one thing, but cheering for them and understanding the personal background is even more, because you understand how human athletes are and the struggles they have, not only with wins and losses.
Do you find as soccer players age, do you find that the injuries that you see, again, on a general question, do you see that as they age from playing more indoor than outdoor, that you can almost pinpoint some of the injuries you're going to see with aging soccer players?
Well, certainly, just like the rest of us aging folks, the aging players, I'm talking late 20s, early 30s, because those are the older statesmen of the indoor game, you're going to start seeing patellar tendon disruption or Achilles ruptures, because that's the type of injuries that occur as we get to early middle age. And the guys that are doing the stop-start sport of indoor certainly are much more prone to that. And as their tissues age and have all this repetition through all their years of training, those are the ones that go much more probably than their younger counterparts.
Hey, Coach, were you relatively injury-free as a player, or did you have some injuries that we might be able to talk about?
You know what? I was relatively injury-free. No major knee injuries, no ankle injuries. You know, I broke a right ulna midway through my career, and I made it till 40 with the indoor game.
Wow.
41. And I could tell you my body, I'm 42 years old now. My body doesn't feel 42, probably closer to 50. So I have those days where I'm slow to get a long drive. It takes me a while to get going. A little bit of arthritis in my hip from the start stops, like Dr. Pfeifel is talking about. So there's certain areas that, you know what, would I have had these injuries if I stopped a little earlier? Those are questions that I body this and that and the other, but there's certain questions I ask. If I would have stopped earlier, would I have these aches and pains that I have now?
How hard was it at the end of your career to make the decision when to stop? I would assume that sometime around 35, 36, you thought about it?
Definitely.
And
even
then,
earlier.
But for the love of the game,
you know,
coming back?
Every year it rolled around, it's like, yeah, one more year. You know, one more year. And, you know, it's an ongoing joke in my household. You know, when my wife's dad comes to visit or something, one more year it used to always be the saying. And, you know, I was just truly blessed because I basically walked out of my playing career right into my coaching career and couldn't be more fortunate. You know, the Wave's taken great care of me and my family. So just feel very, very blessed and lucky to have this opportunity.
It's a good community for you and your family.
Absolutely.
Again, I told you this early in our conversation, but the amount of respect and love that people from, you know, you don't even know. These are fans that have met you in a grocery store or at a tournament that you took the time to say hello and sign autographs or take pictures with. what you're doing, keep doing, because it's made a big impact on people in this community. And I think that it's always good to hear that we're doing good stuff, absolutely, you know, and I think it's important that we hear that. But as far as when you were a player and now as a coach, that was your reputation of being a really good guy in the community. And I think that's probably why you stepped out of playing and you went right into coaching.
That means a lot. You know, I really appreciate those comments, and, you know, I feel the same way about, you know, all the people that I've been around that have come to games or camps, for the Milwaukee Wave.
That's awesome. Guys, we got to get out. Dr. Pfeifel, thank you. This is a different show. We didn't talk as many injuries, but I thought that, you know, to highlight the Milwaukee Wave, especially with their first home game on the 19th, Saturday, November 19th, 6:05, UWM Panther Arena. Go to MilwaukeeWave.com for more information. I really appreciate you allowing me to do this today.
Mike, thanks for having me. And certainly a big part of sports medicine is not just the injuries. It's the understanding of the psychological component, coaching, and the way a coach deals with his players. So all these things are part of sports medicine, not just broken bones and torn ACLs.
That's awesome. Guys, thank you so much for your time. Again, go to MilwaukeeWave.com for more information. For more information, Dr. Eric Pfeifel, MyMosh.com. Thanks for listening. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.